Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Update on what you expect from Terry and Noah specifically in practice today and then this week.
You'll see Noah out of practice today. Terry won't. And then with the extra day, we'll just kind of work our way through with Terry to see where we're at and just kind of watch as we're going through it with he and Noah both.
That was Dan Quinn today out in Ashburn. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, live from City Tap House in D.C. We're just a couple blocks away from Capital One Arena. The Caps kicking off a brand new season tonight. They're taking on the Boston Bruins. Puck drop at 7:30. That's 1 hour after we get off the air. We're live out here until 6:30. A great pregame spot. Come on out, get drinks, get something to eat, listen to some Caps talk. Nick Dowd's on the show in our 6 o'clock hour leading up to the game right before puck drop. So there's going to be a lot to like if you're a Caps fan coming out here rocking the red.
There's a buzz, man. There's a buzz. There's a little bit of energy right here percolating. Business people lunch. Everybody's hanging out. There's a din in the bar. It is so good. I love City Tap. This place is awesome. Foodstuffs is so good. It takes such great care of us, and it really is. It's right there next to Cap One.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condorian Murad. I'd like to help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I think Toby was a little bit surprised. I think Toki, and this was still Toby, actually. He's very sweet and docile.
Very kind, yeah.
I think he was a little bit taken aback. This was his first experience seeing you out in the wild in a bar, not sharing your food. And this is a long-standing
sure.
show rule, I guess?
Yes, it's an understanding.
Understanding.
Everybody that knows knows, yeah.
But you got a plate of nachos.
I sure did.
Here at the bar today.
Yep.
And when I say it was a big spread, like the amount of nachos on that plate was gargantuan, Toby.
Yeah, I mean, this is usually one that you would order and share with the table.
I would say with 4 to 6 people.
Sure.
Something like that. So the plate comes. The nacho tray is bountiful. And I immediately...
Then here come the looky-loos.
I realized right then and there, I said, you know, I don't really like nachos that much.
Uh-huh.
But there's plenty of chips in there that are mostly dry chip. There's also meat in there. I could get a little meat on the chip. I don't want a bunch of nachos.
Okay.
I'd like a chip just to wet the palate. I can't even eat a bunch of nachos. Copair Paulson over here. I mean, I'd be heavy for 10 weeks. You happen to have a workout later that you're doing with the World's Strongest Men, so it just falls right off.
Me
you.
And Magnus for Magnuson.
Yeah.
Are
if
later.
I eat that, then 3 weigh-ins from now in 3 weeks, they'll be like, did you eat nachos back on October 8th? And I'm like,
you had nachos, didn't you?
You got me. Yes, I did. So anyway, so I want one nacho. That's all. A chip. That's right. What I'm looking for. And I said to Danny, is there any chance you're not going to finish all those? Is that a situation where you could put a couple of chips for me on a plate? I'm not going to grab them off of your plate. And you would have thought I asked you for one of your kidneys. That one kidney Paulson needed instead of some dialysis, I needed your kidney.
I think I'd probably more willingly give you one of my kidneys than share food from my plate. Again, Danny doesn't share food. It if you want nachos, order some nachos. And you could eat two, and then you can waste them or whatever.
Right,
you
there's 900 in the bowl. I only want one or two.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
It doesn't make a lot of sense for me to order 900 nachos. So anyway, the story here was not that Danny wouldn't give me a nacho.
That's right.
That's a given. I just thought maybe he'd be in a good mood. The story was Toby seeing all this in real time.
I mean, for the record, I don't know if you'll be shocked by this, Grant, but I'm Team Danny on this. If
really?
I order nachos and I'm going to eat the nachos, Order your own nachos. You're not going to have any of mine.
That plate, though, there's zero chance that plate comes.
Now, I might be a little more gracious than Danny and say, like, take one.
That's the whole point.
But generally, I'd be team Danny.
I'm not team share food. I don't think anyone's team every time food comes, it's for everyone.
No, but
that specific dish.
I appreciate my grandmother. I love my grandmother more than anyone. But her favorite thing was you order any food anywhere. Let me get one. Nope.
Nope. I love your grandma. Happen. Not from my plate.
You're trying to have a different conversation than the one I'm trying to have, which is I agree with you. This is not a family-style restaurant.
Correct.
But if that tray of nachos came out on a day where you're ordering whatever you want throughout the day, you've already eaten something, you're about to order some fish and chips, you might get a cookie skillet later, okay? The idea that you would say, if I was like, hey, can I get a chip? You would say no. I know you. There's 0% chance.
I would probably say no.
There's no
I'd
chance.
Probably say no. So, like, we're talking about a cookie skillet later, and we're already talking about maybe going two-thirds and a third or something like that. Totally fine in that situation. We haven't had a conversation beforehand that, hey, can I grab a chip or two? Sorry, you're out of luck.
I mean, it's just not true.
Now,
it's just not accurate.
Allow me to weigh in here, so to speak. Normally, that is an appetizer, the nacho. That is meant to be shared. If you're treating it as I was, as my main, and that's it for me today. Like,
no,
that's it.
You had another plate of food.
No, I understand that. No, I'm saying that was my appy, the wings, the 10-spice wings, which are divine here. I ate those. That was my appetizer. My main course was the nacho. That's all for me today. That's my entire program. So normally, if you treat that as an appetizer, that would be a pre-share situation where we could absolutely talk about it. Does anyone want some nachos? Does anyone want some wings? Anyone want something that I'm going to plan in my mind that I'm going to get a portion of? That was the main dish. That was my alpha and the omega. That's the whole point of me kind of sitting down right there. I like to mix and match. And that's what I went with. Two appetizers, but one of them I treated as my main, the larger of the two.
I think what people need to understand, and we posted a video at 6-7, the fan. I think I retweeted it at Grant H. Paulson on Instagram. You can go check it out. It's the size of the nachos. I have a hard time believing there would be that many people that would not be with me on giving someone one of those. There were probably 8,000 chips and, like, I don't know, three orders of pork barbecue in the bowl. And this is something on the show. I know better. I know the,
sure,
the score.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't asked you for anything at a restaurant in years for this very reason. I thought this particular instance was so rare and so unique and so different because of the amount of food on this heaping plate.
I see what you're
saying. You have two gigantic orders right in front of you.
To the untrained eye, I could see how someone could think that.
Yeah.
I get that.
And so I'm like, I'll take a chip. And you're like, no, you won't.
Yeah, no. But like, but whenever, see, here's the thing. Whenever you do it, this is your, if I may, this is your chickens coming home to roost, so to speak.
Okay.
You've done so many deadpan trolling bits in your lifetime, right, where you just go after it for somebody, and then they're like, not sure what to do. Then you go, I'm just doing a bit, right? So it's you know the rule. You know the deal. You know who
so
I am.
So you confuse what I was doing.
I initially think, like, here's what's going on in this brain right here. Grant doesn't like nachos. He's made a big point of telling everybody that nachos are the worst. They're too Mexican-y or whatever the words
right.
you use are.
But those were just chips with some meat on them.
A lot of sour cream,
yeah.
a lot of seasoning,
I would have avoided
salsa.
That like the plague.
Right. So
yeah.
in your mind, in old Danny's mind, this is not a genuine request. This is a cage-rattling, bear-poking,
okay.
I'm trolling you situation. And then it's videoed, and it's like, you know, what are we really doing here? This feels performative. So the point of the dude's story is, no, you can't have any. And that's just always, if I want to give you something, I'll let you know. Like, if I've got it in my mind, hey, you know what, man, I'm not going to be able to finish this. I'll get you some. I'll notify you. I'll loop everyone in.
Yeah, I mean, Danny shared a wing with me earlier today.
That's right.
After he'd already refused you nachos.
That
he shared a wing with me.
No way. That was the bombshell.
Why did you do that?
I realized the thing I wanted more was the nachos. I had my fill of wings. I realized with three wings to go, you know what? I'm not going to be able to finish these wings.
Wow.
Toby was in close proximity.
That's more annoying,
yeah.
actually.
And I'd already dropped the hint as well with man, those smell great.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Well, but there were only eight wings or something, maybe
yeah.
10 max.
Mm-hmm.
There were 800 pieces of nachos.
That's right. And the nachos was the thing that I was clamoring for.
So your
knowing.
Lack of consistency here now makes it impossible.
Yeah, it's not consistent. It's not about inconsistency. Here's what's super consistent. If I'm not going to eat it all, we're welcome to it.
And by the way, that's exactly what I said. I said to you, hey, probably not going to eat all that, I'd imagine. If you're not, I'll take a chip. And you're like, I'm going to.
Yeah, I was going to eat all those
okay.
nachos. That was my plan.
10 minutes later, I came over, and you hadn't eaten it all. And I said, hey, are you done? Or And you're like,
I mean, I'm shoveling them in my mouth at record pace. Like, I was a disgusting sow in that moment.
I just couldn't keep up. There was All I know was there was two gigantic piles of food in front of you.
Right.
I just assume there's a chance you're not going to consume it all, which I assumed correctly, apparently.
That's right. Now, if you were in the market for a wing, would have been yours. Would have been yours.
I don't think it would have.
Would have been yours.
I think this is about me, we've learned now.
It's not about you.
It's incredible. Toby.
Next time
you ask him for a chip, then you get the chip and give it to me.
The hint that Toby dropped was heavy. I mean, that was a big old, like, he's like, man, those wings smell delicious as you, like, pass right next to him. Oh, my God.
It wasn't
one,
subtle
buddy?
In the slightest.
Yeah, but, as subtle as a hammer.
I mean, normally that gets you nowhere with Danny. So that's staggering.
That is true.
All right, speaking of going nowhere fast, Washington trying to get Terry McLaurin back, still not at practice out in Ashburn. He was supposed to return, we thought, based on what Dan Quinn had to say yesterday, today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. But, Darius, grab the cut from Quinn on Monday about the optimism of getting both Noah Brown and Terry McLaurin back. Because Noah's already practicing in full today, it sounds like. Maybe that'll be McLaurin tomorrow. You would think there would be like some kind of ramp up where he's limited, then he's full, so maybe you're now getting to Friday before he's full at practice, which is like a normal Thursday because of the Monday night game. But did your confidence that McLaurin's back on the field Monday night change at all with him not practicing today, or is it just too early in the week?
No, my confidence went down. Again, it's not a zero. I'm not panicking or anything like that. But given the backdrop, multiple opinions, I don't know what expert we were on. I don't know which foremost core muscle quad slash hip pointer slash whatever guy we had to go see to figure out if he was going to be able to play or not. But given that backdrop, given that there wasn't any idea that he'll play last week, right? Like, Jaden Daniels kind of had this little bit of ramp up. There's a little bit of mystery behind it. And it was pretty clear they had a plan all along. But there wasn't any kind of ramp up for McLaurin. And now he's not practicing on Wednesday. I understand this is the normal Tuesday. And the Wednesday calendar is all jacked up because they don't play till Monday.
This is kind of a bonus practice in that sense.
Which is good. I'm all in favor of it. But it's got my radar. It's on my radar. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting there going, oh, my God, it's doomsday. He'll never be the same again. I'm nowhere near that. But it is concerning until it's not. Again, even though this the Daniel situation worked out in a way that I am very comfortable with and I liked a lot. I liked how they handled it. I mean that. They still haven't won me over with their injury talking credibility. Does that make sense? Like, after everything we've seen with them, and they're not forthcoming, and that's fine. That is their call. That's their prerogative. But when you tell me everything's fine, frankly, I don't believe you. Right? That's where I am. And I'll be there until they put a whole bunch more deposits in the bank in terms of, things happen exactly as they say it's going to.
Yeah, I first and foremost have to imagine, I'm sticking with the original Dan Quinn comment on Monday, which felt optimistic and revealing, more so than he normally is early in the week especially, for him to come out and say he thought there was a trajectory where those guys could both play. So I'll ride with that. And I'm kind of siding with it's just way too early in the week to be reactionary or to take a lot out of a practice report. I think Thursday this week, or Thursday normally, which is kind of like Friday this week in a sense, is when I'm going to be more interested, because that's the day where if you're not in full now, you're going to be questionable. Now there's a real good chance you don't play. But I'll bet you he practices some tomorrow. That's when I'll first say, if he doesn't practice at all tomorrow, I'll say, maybe he doesn't come back this week. Mm-hmm. And now we start getting into the Chris Russell conversation all over again, where Russell was saying, this thing seems to be dragging a little bit. You know, maybe it's a matter of, hey, I used to come back and fight and scratch and claw and do everything I could, and where did that get me? Like, now I'm going to be 100%. I'm not putting bad tape out there. I only got a one-year extension. I'm only under contract basically for 2 years. When I'm playing, I need to be at 100%. And if I'm at 85 or 90 in the past, that was enough. Maybe now it's 100. This was Quinn on Monday. This is where I think people started to assume that McLaurin and Brown would both play based on this answer.
Yeah, we're optimistic, JP, and we'll have more information as the week goes on to see where they're at with he and Noah and Sam Cosmi and a few other guys that are, you know, kind of trending in the right way. We'll make sure we take all the right steps, just like we do with all the guys. If they're able to, you know, fully express how they play and do their thing, then we're there. And if not, we'll have to keep waiting. But we won't decide yet, but with having an extra day, that never hurts, JP, going into it. But as we get, you know, a few more days from now, I think I'll have a better sense for if it's able to be done and what it looks like and how they're responding to it.
This is one of those, I think, where if you know, you know, in the sense of if you follow this team, if you follow how Quinn talks about injuries, that's a bigger deal than what it sounded like. The transcript on that is not overly telling. But that is very, very different than his normal guarded. Look, we're not going to miss a mark. We're going to take it slow. They're going to do what they can. We're optimistic was his first couple words out of his mouth.
Yeah, that's a good catch by you.
About
yeah.
them being able to possibly
right.
play. Like, that's
right.
different.
The normal, and he, it's sort of funny because he always talks about we're not going to miss a mark in the return to play. He doesn't miss his mark normally when they're talking about injuries. He's had to, unfortunately, talk about a whole mess of them already this year, only five games in. But that's his usual MO is to basically, I don't want to, again, it sounds like I'm criticizing, I'm not, but to hide behind that process, right? Where I'm not going to tell you anything specifically, but I get to say, yeah, he's injured. We're going to return to play. I mean, the whole deal with Terry McLaurin's holdout, hold in, whatever. They were able to avoid answering a lot of tough questions with the we're not going to miss a milestone and it's return to play protocol, return to play, return to play. He usually just sort of is able to hide behind that wall, and then anything that comes towards you, it's like it hits the wall. It hits the return to play wall. That time he actually said, yeah, we the extra practice day, we're very optimistic. That's different.
I wonder how much better they are and just where they change what they're doing if Terry's back out there. It's not like he was lighting it up in the first couple of weeks. He had 10 catches through three games for 149 yards, of which, if you remember, he had that massive catch and run of 56 yards against the Raiders. So, like, over a third of his season output through three games came on that one catch. Clearly, the Chris Moore element of this passing game the last couple of weeks hasn't worked. He's had a couple bad drops, including the ball in the end zone when Jaden made a nice play and should have had a passing touchdown. If it was Terry, that's a touchdown. So, like, anything involving Moore, I feel like if that was Terry, it goes better. But you had the McCaffrey diving catch. You had Jalen Lane showing up on 3rd and 16. Neither of those guys got more than a couple targets. Maybe if it's Terry, it's 6 or 7. I think the way that he might help most is just to take a little attention off Debo. Because if he's not back soon, it's going to eventually happen, maybe this weekend, Monday night, or whenever, that teams start going, wait a second. They threw the ball 20 times. 9 of the targets went to Debo, and there was 2 to everybody else. Let's pay a little more attention to this guy.
Yeah, I don't really have to respect Chris Moore.
Exactly.
Right?
Or maybe even Luke, who's played better, or maybe even Lane to an extent because he's a rookie and the routes aren't the same as Terry's. Where if Terry's out there, you just agreed to a deal to make him a $30 million AAV guy for a reason. So I would think that's where he'll help most is just to keep Debo, to keep Ertz from getting extra attention.
I think I think you're right on. I mean, to me, I talk about this all the time. This is my DeSean Jackson corollary. I was so wrong about him coming here. I saw it firsthand. The threat is almost as important as the actual thing, right? Once every, three games, DeSean Jackson takes the top off, scores a touchdown, and there are these 2 for 21 games or, 3 for 33. It don't really help you do anything crazy, but it opens everything up for everybody else. McLaurin is not exactly DeSean Jackson. Not saying he is, nor is he Tyreek Hill or any of these in their prime, greatest all-time deep threat type guys, but he does have enough of that burst and enough of the threat where if he's running one of those deep routes, he's going to command attention. If he's doing that intermediate to longer type stuff that he's specialized in for so many years, some of those contested catches type things, again, it demands attention. And, even if it is a 2-catch for 27 yards, that's not the only impact. Chris Moore's 2 for 27, that's the ceiling. That's it. Terry McLaurin's 2 for 27 means they probably bracketed him. They probably had to shade coverage. They rolled things that way. Guys are sort of knowing where 17 is, so maybe the safety takes an extra step to the right, or the way the coverage is shaded, et cetera, influences that thing. As you said, opens things up for everybody else.
A coach got so upset at a player on the sideline that he got fined by the NFL based on his actions, and he's had to apologize to the player. Should he have? I mean, how big of a deal was what he did? We're going to get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1, it's $15 a month. 2, seriously, it's $15 a month. 3, no big contract. 4, I use it. 5, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball. Did he drop it early? Boy, that's going to be close.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, he extended it with his hand a little bit.
Did Snead's trying to say that he got the ball out? Wow.
You see him kind of put it on his fingertips, but did he have control, Arch, before that thing broke the plane?
Back live at City Tap House in D.C. They've got the Capital Ale available for people out here. The Devil's Backbone, delicious beverage. You can get that out here if you're coming out to the game tonight. Rock your red. They got great drink specials, food. We're going to be here until 6:30, and the game is at 7:30 tonight at Capital One Arena. The Caps and the Bruins getting a new season started. You'll hear from John Walton at 5, play-by-play voice of the Capitals on the radio. He's got the call tonight right here on the Fan at 7:30. And Nick Dowd, who we've had on the show over the years many, many times.
Doubter.
As a weekly regular, Dowd is going to be on the program between 6 and 6:30 as we get ramped up with a season preview and get ready to drop the puck on the new 25-26 campaign. I wanted to get into this controversy and this big discourse now happening about Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. So let me get people up to speed on what happened, and then we'll give some takes. One of those things, I think, if you're just a Commanders fan in D.C., that might be out of sight.
You might
out of
have
mind.
Missed it, yeah.
So the Cardinals have fined head coach Jonathan Gannon $100,000 for a sideline interaction. And I'm calling it an interaction. I've seen other people call it a confrontation or an altercation. Altercation seems a little bit rough for me. That's a little bit of a stretch. But what happened was he has a running back named Amari DiMercato, who you just heard in that highlight there. Rips off a long run, okay? 72-yard touchdown run taken off the board as a 71-yard carry for DiMercato because inexplicably and unforgivably, Danny, at the goal line,
yep,
to celebrate his touchdown, he's doing the move where he just drops the ball as soon as he crosses the chalk. But he dropped the ball at the 1-yard line with, yep, no defender around him. He started celebrating at the 1. Costs his team a touchdown.
In a game they would go on to lose.
In the fourth quarter, would have put the game away. Instead of a 3-possession game, it's still 2 possessions. Titans get the ball back. Dumbest rule in sports after a touchback. They get a fifth of the football field, oh, by the way. And now they go on, as you said, to come back and win the game. There were other crazy plays we could talk about. I don't know if you watched that game.
I did, yeah.
That led to them winning. One of the most insane touchdowns on a ball that the Cardinals like turned over twice and on the same play. It was so stupid.
When they got a turnover? Yeah, bizarre.
But anyway, this guy, Amari DiMercato, drops the football, okay? It's one of those things that should never, ever, ever happen. So Gannon approaches him on the sideline and just eviscerates him. I mean, you don't see coaches at the NFL level talk to guys like this very often. In his ear hole, screaming at the top of his lungs, and he ends this exchange with basically like a punch or a kind of fist to the, like sidewards fist to the chest. Now, it could be called a punch. I'm sure in a non-football context.
Yeah, like if you read the transcript of the events, you'd right. go, he struck him in the chest. It's
he,
not.
He punched him in the chest.
Yeah.
Except in football, or if you've ever been in sports, a coach kind of hitting you in the chest, it's a very much a, let's go,
like,
man.
Come on, dude.
Like, get your head out of your butt kind of thing, right? And that's what he did. I say all this to say that the dialogue since has been, how dare him? What an unprofessional thing. Maybe true. He's got to be better, possibly. And there's players. I saw TJ Houshmandzadeh in a video circulating online saying I would have knocked him out. That this player, Amari DiMercato, should have fought his coach, basically. How dare you touch me? How dare you treat me like that? Again, forgive me for saying that's a bit overboard. But this was, to his credit, Jonathan Gannon speaking yesterday after having some time to think about it and apologizing about what he did.
I woke up this morning and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me, and it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday, which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game, and we can't let it happen moving forward.
So I love that apology.
Sure.
I don't even know that it was completely necessary, but apparently he apologized directly to DiMercato, which is what I would have done. He didn't even do it, like, in his office. He did it in front of the team. What I like about it, Danny, is if I'm preaching stay within yourself, let's not lose our minds, let's not do anything stupid and cost our team, and then I do that, I'm a hypocrite. So I like saying a lot of us made mistakes this weekend. Me too. I'm going to apologize for what I did. Now who else wants to talk? That's what I would have done at my team meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he did something like that. But what do you make of this whole discourse now where it's as if, you know, he's some college coach that, like, body slammed a player on the sideline.
Yeah, this is like, it's not as if he swung on the guy. The dialogue around it I found bizarre. And I know we do 24/7 outrage machine, you know, who's going to give me the 30-second clip that's going to, you know, go the most places and all the shouty shows can react to it. I understand all that. But even within that context, I've been baffled by the reaction. Also, the fine itself, I mean, again, if he's shaking him, if he's like grabbing him by the collar, there's no collar in football jerseys, you know what I mean, if he's grabbing him by the jersey and shaking him, and then that's like an angry punch, it's the end where he's going, let's go, come on, he's reaming the guy out for an unforgivable mistake. He deserves some grace there. Not talking about DiMercato, by the way, but Gannon, bewildering to me. This is, I generally roll my eyes when a lot of whether it's football fans or other folks talk about the softening of sports and things like that. That is nowhere near a point where I thought that was fine worthy, where I thought that was apology worthy. I'm glad he did it, because again, if you're preaching something, I don't know what you're talking about behind the scenes. This is not our team culture. We're doing X, Y, Z. I apologize. Fine.
I'll go this far. It's a bad look regardless. Like, just to be that incensed and that angry in the face of a player who's, like, completely dejected. So he's got this offensive lineman who's got his hand around him, wrapped. You know, he's basically doing a pick-me-up, like, oh, I'm so sorry, dude. I know this is a terrible moment for you. We still believe in you. We love you. And while he's being consoled, the coach comes over and just eviscerates him and then kind of with his whole body slaps him in the chest. So I get it. The optics are bad. And I think I would have apologized, too. I would have said, hey, man, that wasn't cool what I did yesterday. My fault. But for people to act like, you know, that the player should have fought at him, or that,
yeah, that's insane to me.
This is like above, I mean, the.
There's a difference, though, if I can. It, like, the physical error, right? Like, you drop a pass and, like, you go put your arm around Chris Moore. Like, let's say that it cost Washington the game. It's like, hey, man, look, better days ahead. Next play, we'll be on it. It'll be fine. That's the Dan Quinn approach. The selfish, unforgivable lapse in judgment, me first, I'm more concerned about my celebration than I am the team actually winning the game and doing a productive thing. Yeah, I'd be incensed too. So, again, and I think it's fine. I'm glad he apologized the way he did. He's talking about his team coach, what they're trying to implement.
You're watching the video in front like I am right here.
Yeah.
I've got it right here. If he doesn't slap him in the chest like that, I don't think anyone's talking about this. It's just that chest slap of, like, are you kidding me? Let's go! And then the coach kind of pulls him away as again, the other guy's head is down, like he's about to cry. I just think the look is so bad. You don't see that very often. Now, I don't think it's finable, but they fine him $100,000 as a team, whatever. I'm cool with the apology. If he doesn't slap him, don't you agree that no one has mentioned this for 1 second?
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right about that. But again, it's...
Should it be that simple that you can't touch a player?
I, Not for me. I mean, honestly, I don't know.
If a player did that to a coach?
Yeah, I mean, intent matters to me. Are you trying to injure the person? Are you actually stepping to them? Are you fighting this person? If that's the case, fine them all day, twice on Sunday. There's no fine too big if you take a swing at a player. But people are acting like that's what that was.
Haven't we seen Kelce kind of shoulder Reed a couple times on the sideline?
Yeah. Now, highly competitive alpha athletes that have been the greatest at their entire lives, having things not go their way, reacting emotionally in a game where you have to ramp yourself up to get in a car wreck 70 times, a little bit of grace there for me, right? So I understand, you know, Daron Payne and John Allen putting fingers in each other's faces and smacking each other.
Yeah, but this is not that, right? I mean, that's two guys that are angry at each other. Like, this is dude who's sad, coach who's yelling at him. If this was in college or high school, I think we'd have a different view of it probably. The fact that it's in the professional game in the NFL, does that make it different? I guess that's my rhetorical question. If this is George Pickens, you know, some volatile player, or any player for that matter, Danny, and he slaps a coach in the chest like, let's go, man, let's get it going, let's move the football, throw me the ball. They're definitely getting fined, I would think, right? So is the double standard okay? I guess for me, I would say, yeah, that hypocrisy is reasonable enough because of the roles. But I know a lot of people don't feel this way. Let me let you hear this. You've not heard this yet, I don't think. I found this kind of while doing a deep dive on this story today. But TJ Houshmandzadeh, I don't even know what show this is from. He's like sitting in chairs on some podcast.
Yep.
He's talking about this incident and being a real tough guy. This is what he had to say about it.
A coach would never do that to me.
Why you say that?
Mm-hmm. I'm knocking him out on the sideline. I promise you.
Oh, wow.
And every coach I've had, they know that. They know that. He wouldn't do that to me. He wouldn't do that to me.
You're knocking him out.
I promise you. And they know that. They not. And I'm not like I'm a tough guy. You're just not going to disrespect me like that. Because if I do that to you on the sideline, I get cut.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
So I disagree that he gets cut. If you are a 70-catch Cincinnati Bengal and you do that, you're not getting cut. Now, maybe if you're the 53rd guy on the team.
That might be your time to get cut. Yeah.
You might get cut. You might be right. But you probably shouldn't do that if you're the 53rd guy on the team. He also went on to say, like, my son's watching this game. What is my son supposed to think if I let a man do that to me? That you're a grown-up? that you're a professional who doesn't fight someone?
Well, normally I wouldn't fight, but my son's watching, so I need to make sure I set a good example, said the idiot. what are you talking about?
I mean, that's pretty silly.
Yeah, I mean, that's first team all. If I was there, I would have. Is that what you would have done? Is that what you would have done?
It does come off as such a tough guy.
Person with no stake in it. Yeah.
Nobody would have tried me like that. They know better. Sure about that?
Maybe a coach would have. If you'd done something so incredibly selfish and boneheaded and ridiculous that cost my team the game, yeah, maybe I would have raised my voice at you one time and given you a let's go kind of tap to the chest. Again, I think, to me, this is way closer to a nothing burger. I know it's just criticizing TJ Houshmandzadeh for the tough guy bit. But again, I think everybody my age and older that played sports encountered 1,000 times worse than that. Not necessarily excusing it, but just saying that was way more normal. And that didn't even come close to somebody grabbing the face mask of a guy that missed a block and screaming in his ears or, you know, making me run until I puke because I was a minute late to study hall. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's dealt with worse.
So, but this is another element of this conversation, I think, which is this is a different era. I mean, we have seen coaches fired at the college level.
Uh-huh.
We have seen guys lose jobs. Guys have to, serve suspensions or whatever for verbally yelling at players and shouting or saying things that they shouldn't have said or what have you to players. I understand that pro is different than college, but I do think the goalposts have moved a ton on what is okay and what isn't. When I was in high school, a coach would grab you by the face mask or scream at you or whatever. If people did what some coaches did 20, 30 years ago now, think about, like, how would Herman Boone from Remember the Titans be viewed now? You know, we're not drinking water. When you're no longer tired or thirsty, you got blood on my uniform, we're doing up-downs until you guys all get sick. You know,
like, yeah.
That was a different era that's just not allowed to be a thing now. And I do think this, in some way, fits into that conversation.
Bill Parcells' entire salary would just be donated to the league. You know?
Right, exactly. Jay had a funny tweet on this, by the way. Jay Gruden, who comes on with us every Monday at 5 p.m., former head coach in the NFL. He says, Jonathan Gannon got fined $100,000 for his sideline altercation. The player get fined for dropping the ball at the one-foot line? I just think that's funny.
That's a good thing.
I don't think they did fine DeMarcado for that. He says, if I dropped the ball at the one-yard line when I played for Howard Schnellenberger, I would still be running gassers. So it kind of goes back to what you're talking about. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are at City Tap House on a day where Major League Baseball postseason action is on all the screens out here. The drinks are flowing. Caps fans are filling up the bar. Game time at 7:30 tonight. We're here until 6:30.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Washington Capitol Center, Nick Dowd, and you're listening to the show that talks more Caps than anybody, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan.
That Nick Dowd will be on this year radio program this evening. We're taking you up to the start of a brand new Caps season. We are at City Tap House out and about in D.C., just around the bend from Capital One Arena, a couple blocks away. So if you're coming out to the red carpet event today ahead of puck drop or the first game of the season, 7:30 start time, stop in with us. Have a drink. There's some Caps fans. I was just talking to a couple people. We got a signed Stromer at the bar right now.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a signed TJ Oshie at the bar right now. So a
back
couple of
to back.
Sweaters being rocked that have been inked. But you got to break those out on opening night.
Yeah, that's the time to do it.
They might
right?
not be in every game wear situation, but on opening night, it's like if you have a ring, you wear it kind
of
thing.
One of them, yep.
The Junkies have rings, I think.
They do.
They should probably wear those
they
today.
They should wear those today. Yeah, today's the day for it.
It is time for your double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. I have a hockey-related double play.
Oh, I'll allow it.
So I took my little guys yesterday to Caps practice on the eve of the opener. They've kind of been in a Caps mood here the last few days. So I said, hey, you guys want to go out to practice? So my son, who's four, my daughter, who's two, came with me. They watched practice for like 20 minutes. I thought they did a pretty good job. Then they got cold.
Sure.
Weirdly, it's cold inside of arenas. And I tried to let them know they should wear a jacket and jeans. And they're like, ah, it's fine.
And they listen to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah.
So I dressed them, so I put on some clothes. But they were not willing to go all the way in with the jackets and stuff. So then they were cold. But really, what it turned into is they just wanted to go to the Caps team store. But I made a purchase that is awesome. At the Caps team store, those guys are so cool out there in Arlington. They've got all the stuff you want. But they have this little net, this mini hockey net, with, like, mini hockey sticks. I guess the idea would be so you can, like, get on your knees and play, basically. That's what I have to do, and my kid pretty much does the same. But these nets are, like, legit hockey goals, but probably a quarter of the size or something. So I came home last night. It was already set up. We played a little bit. It was the most fun thing ever.
Isn't that awesome?
Like, in the basement with a hockey net. He's just all in, getting ready for the season. But you get a toy like that in the basement, in a month we'll be on to something else. I'm sure.
Yeah, two things will break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I give it like three times playing before the net breaks. But what's better than having a hockey net in your basement?
So it's
or
so
what,
money.
You know that when you first get the basketball hoop up or whatever.
And my buddy Willie Pell's house, we had similar stuff. He had a basement with like various columns and things, but like it was they basically got tired of trying to keep it maintained, and so they just removed all the furniture, and it was basically a free for all zone. So we'd play all sorts of different games. Like one was it was called Peg, where you hit someone hard with a tennis ball. The other was Dodge, where you threw the tennis ball at somebody like that was up against the wall. Then he put a hockey thing up, and we'd take slap shots and try to deflect them. I mean, it was just this rumpus room of pain and injury.
I haven't thought about this in years. I had a buddy whose basement was like concrete floors, and it was literally wide open with nothing downstairs.
Yep.
And now as a grown-up, it's the first time I've ever thought about this. That's a weird thing.
Yes, it's unusual.
You would think that you would, I don't know, do something with all that space. But it was by design. It's like we would go down there and we could roller skate or we could play hockey and shoot it off the wall. And like that's a really cool way to just, you know what, guys? The basement is yours. We're not going to hang anything. Like we're not going to put carpet down. Just go have a ball.
They were very pragmatic. They were like, we've patched 71 holes in these walls. We have tried to fix these things. Let's stop. Let's remove all of the obstacles, remove all the stuff that's going to break and be destroyed, and let these hyenas go down there and beat each other up.
Do you guys have rules on where in the house,
yes.
if at all, you can throw the ball and
yes.
hit the ball? So my son's now ripping line drive, so I've got to tweak this. But I've pretty much open season. You know, my wife doesn't love it, but like if we're in the living room hitting in a certain direction, I might throw like soft little squishy balls and he crushes them with the bat. But we're getting to a point now where his exit velocity and launch angle.
When it happens quick. And all of a sudden, you realize that TV's in danger.
Yeah, Truman's about ready to start breaking some things. My wife's like, I don't know about this. So we might have to start making some
There'll be one close call. You hear a sound like, did that crack?
No more new rules style coming very soon.
I've been there. Let me sneak in just a tiny, minuscule double play, Darius. I'm one episode in, and I love it. The show is Black Rabbit,
yeah.
James. Do you have a file on this bad boy?
Brought it up a couple weeks ago.
And you watched it. You're already done with it?
No. I haven't been able to start it because it's football season.
Yep.
And every night's a football game, or if it's not, it's a baseball playoff game. So this is not a TV time for me, but I have not been this excited about a TV show in a long time.
It has it. This is it. This is the point, right? So I'm one episode in. So I've watched it over 2 days, basically like during like – workout type times or, you know, a little bit of down moments like post playoff game last night, etc. Trying to get the baby to fall back asleep, whatever. This is not Bateman going full, hey, bud, Bateman, right? This is fast talking, trying to get out of problems, Bateman. So it's hey, bud, Bateman with a little bit of Ozark Bateman. So when he's sticking it up on
Did
Ozark.
Did he direct this as well?
Yeah, he directs it.
Oh,
so
hell yeah.
When he's sticking it up in Ozark, remember he's like, hey, different number, different selection there, pal. Like, try to get the jukebox changed. He, hey, bud, Bateman's. But then as he gets going trying to survive and, like, convince people not to murder him and whatever on the show, Ozark, no spoilers, he goes a little bit less, hey, bud, a little bit more, I'm in danger, fast-talking Bateman. This is the fast-talking Bateman, and I'm in on this Bateman. Normally, I want my Bateman hey-budding everywhere and all the time. He plays the, I realize I'm in deep bleep, frantic, scared to death, character incredibly well. Jude Law is his star opposite him. I know very little about the show, even though I've watched an episode. They kind of drop you in, flashback a couple different things. It's establishing who we are, what we're doing, what the stakes are, etc. Jason Bateman plays kind of a ne'er-do-well, clearly in some trouble. Jude Law plays this restaurateur that's trying super hard to kind of make it in this cutthroat, terrifying, awful environment. And then one kind of crashes into the other, and now we got a show. So good. It's so good.
Is it really dark?
Yes.
It seems like it's.
Yes.
That's also. Can Bateman direct something that's not dark? Why is his stuff always so dark, it feels like?
Great question.
Which is not a knock as much as an
just
observation.
Just is, right? Yeah. Someone that's that funny is like, I'm going to go morbid. Hey, bud.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Make it so it feels like there's no future,
so
pal.
I know it's very early, one episode.
Yep.
Give me a grade because I am jacked up to watch this.
Oh, this is early. It's irresponsible to do it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
On episode one, out of 10 buffalo wings.
8.5 carbohydrates.
It's that good.
I'm going.
Damn.
Yep.
How am I not going to watch it until after football season?
It is really, really good. I cannot wait to see what happens.
Yeah, Bart Scott situation for me as well here. Very good. I want to hear more as you continue to climb through this thing. Our Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny. As a reminder, we're giving away tickets to see My Chemical Romance all week long. So we'll have those tickets as soon as we return. About 6 minutes from right now, you'd better be listening if you want them. And then we are getting you a blitz on the teams you care the most about in town. Ahead of the Caps home opener, a lot of Commanders news trickling out. We've got an update on if Sam Cosmi could be making his season debut this weekend. Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.